Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show.
Show. We tonight will celebrate poets on fire. These poets are individuals who are lighting up the globe in terms of their poetry. So tonight is Poets on Fire. One of the things that we'd like to do is to talk about our other show. One of our other shows is called Straight No Chaser, the jazzier side of poetry. And that particular show gives us an opportunity to focus on jazz-related poetry in terms of the instrumentals, in terms of the words, in terms of the rhythms. And what we'd like to do tonight is, again, to showcase that show with primarily a piece. And this is Frank Rakoto Nohorina, Common Splice Jazz Mix.
She wakes from sleep, deep from ambient treats, down for hot, wet drops from Colombian beans. Then she drives goodbye with her kid back seat, moving fuel chewed from a desert heat. I sit alone with my fragile bones, got my crackberry malls and my Twitter drones. Bleeding eyes, multiplayer moans, got my U-porn love feeling Facebook stoned. Who's got the power when we follow the noise? It's our drugs of choice. And then I walk downstairs for a midday break. Got no time to dine, no sun on my face. And so my food machine spits out fresh direct and stumbles sandwich crumbs on my keyboard desk. And so I scan sales in the Amazon rain. Last chance dance to heal our lonely pain. And what if I buy her that diamond star to fill that plastic-wrapped, widget-packed hole, hole in my heart? Who's got the power when we follow the toys? It's our drugs of choice. And then she takes a drink like a Gladwell blink, and suddenly, face to face with the way she thinks, she asks, what's the source of the clothes I wear, the meat I eat, and the trash burn through the air? Where does it come from? Where is it going? Where does it come from? Where are we going? And though she chokes smoke from the 10 o'clock blues, seeing God's facade fueling family feuds, she seals her ears with pod-filled tunes and walks the talk as her mood, future moves. Everything's possible in our time.
Hello again, this is Michael Ingram. That was Frank Ronino and his piece, Common Splice Jazz. Again, on Monday nights, 8 o'clock p.m. once a month, Straight No Chaser, the jazzier side of poetry, is a new show that the DC Poetry Project sponsors. Please tune in. There will be some weeks when the show is live, and other weeks when the show will be pre-recorded. So if you have an opportunity to make a tape where you're reciting to poetry, and there's an instrumental beneath your work or your piece is somehow tied to poetry, send it in, and we'll play it on the air. Tonight, our number is 646-716-8754. Call in if you like. You can tweet us. The number is out there. Again, my name is Michael Ingram, and I believe we have a caller on the line. I'd like to bring this person in, and if you hold on 1 second, I'll do that. So, again, welcome to everyone to the Power of Poetics. Caller, are you on the line? Area code 617.
Hi, Michael. This is Marianne. I'm up in Boston at my friend Tamara's.
Wow, Marianne. I didn't
recognize that. So I'm actually here on a Wednesday night.
On a Wednesday night. Thank you for joining us. And if you heard that first little piece, that was a promo for our show, the Jazz
Notation.
Yes. So, hey, fantastic. Good to hear your voice. Would you like to share a piece of poetry, or you like to just kind of wait a minute to get situated?
I do kind of need to get situated. I want to get out my my tablet.
Okay, all right. Well, what
actually,
I'll do until other callers
actually,
arrive.
Oh, you know what I can do? I actually don't need the tablet because, but I am going to have to, I'm still going to have to get situated because I have to go to Gmail.
Okay, all right, then not a problem. What I plan to do then is to recite a few works just to get us rolling. Again, this is the Power Poetics Blog Talk Radio Show. We're Poets on Fire live tonight. And what we attempt to do is just to celebrate the power of words. And through the power of words, we're able to travel to places that only our imaginations can build. And in these places, we have an opportunity to visit the good, bad, and or indifferent of life. And through this journey, through this weekly journey, we often find comfort and or solace and or truth and or celebration in our words. And as we state here in the nation's capital, long live words. So what I'd like to do is to recite a very quick piece. And I'm going to use a book called, I'm reciting from a book called The Circle of Equilibrium, Poems of Conscience. And this was published in some years ago, let's see, in 1997. It was published by Roy D. Wilson and the Institute of Community Leadership, and it's primarily poems by youth, I think from ages 12 to 18. So this particular piece is by a young person. This person's name is Ewan B., and the person, male or female, is age 16, from Evergreen High School in White Center, Washington. All right. The poem is titled Night. No one prayed to the dark sky, and nothing left except dead stars and gray sky. I pretend to help poor children and worry, poverty, and sickness. Night's haunted by the sad angle of eyes, of men falling in the ground dirty red. Death walks around slow. Where is God? I dream every child plays together with every other child under sunshine in the park. At night, my sisters disappear, their bodies turned into a circle of smoke and silent dust, a loss so deep tears refuse to come. I can do nothing with my little hands alone. We are the family of those anonymous corpses. Our hands should touch, a violin should play a fragment for those who died and those of us who keep on living. And I think this book was developed by children who are from the Quinault Nation, Native Americans, the Quinault Nation in the Pacific Northwest. So again, this is a book of poetry called The Circle of Equilibrium. It was published in 1997. I'm sure you can purchase it online. Here we go. Poems of Conscience and Leadership by Native, Latino, African, and Asian American Youth. A great, great, great book. I enjoy reading poems from this book. We have a couple of callers on the line. I want to bring them in.
It's your foot now. Okay.
Area code 858. Okay. You're on the line.
Hey, this is Kofi. Thank you for putting this up. It's always a pleasure.
Hello, Kofi. Welcome, welcome, sir. It's always good to hear your voice. All right, we've got one more person. One more person. Area code 256. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Michael?
Hello, Gary. How are you, sir? Welcome, welcome to the DC Poetry Project's Poets on Fire Live.
All right, thank you, man.
All right,
doing
good
all right?
To hear your voice as well. Yes, I'm fantastic. I feel really good tonight. Really good and blessed. Marianne, are you ready?
Actually, yeah, I think I will read something.
Okay, great.
Great. I'm actually going to read a radio poem, Radio Corvallis.
Corvallis?
Corvallis.
That's where I lived.
Yeah.
For 12 years.
It's about the radio station I listened to when I was in Eugene.
In Eugene. Wow.
I don't
this
know if it was the same when you were out there, because I was out in Eugene, oh my gosh, almost 30 years ago.
No, I was still a child. I was still in the crib, Marianne. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I wasn't even a nugget in my mom or dad's eye. Okay, go ahead. Read.
You must have been a prodigy.
A child prodigy. I'm going to get you, Marianne. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. Teaching at your research one institution? Okay, Radio Corvallis.
All right.
Radio Corvallis is down for the night. Once the sun rises, the tornadoes, Telstar will rise too. It will hover above the AM, FM, shortwave radio on the table. The spatter in the frying pan, the smell of gingery curry, of onions and butter. As the sun climbs further, the radio will reveal saxophones and piano above the guitars and drums, the basses and baritones, beneath the tenor and falsetto, and the coasters themselves will strut through this college-issue apartment. But for only a few hours more, the refrigerator and lights hum out of tune, electronica, for an audience of one, I keep typing. I keep the beat.
Talk about that a little bit more. What was your experience like in Eugene, Oregon, and why did you tune in to Radio Corvallis, of all things?
Well, basically because I liked old music from the 50s and 60s. And that station that was actually, it was only on the air during the daytime hours. I thought that was the best station. It was, you know, it was like the station I listened to back in Boston.
All right.
And it played all the old songs.
Right. Of course, I was a child, so I don't remember those, but I'm glad you were able to tune in. All right. I know, Kofi, are you here to recite or here to listen like you always do? Kofi, are you there?
Yes, yeah, I'm here. I'm actually in transit, so I put myself on mute just not to.
Okay,
all right.
So
I'll rather listen in for now.
All right, I know you love to listen, so it's always good to have you here in spirit in terms of your listening. All right, my friend Gary, would you like to share anything tonight, sir?
Yeah, sure. I'm gonna share this poem that it's called Feel My Vibe. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay. All right. Can you feel my vibe as my pen tickled these ivory black and white keys on my paper piano? The melody of the horns, the cool, mellow sounds of a tender saxophone. I feel Charlie's bird. The liquid flow from Miles' trumpet, a dark witch's brew, Trump's bones bathing in Winston Marcellus' horny New Orleans voodoo. Tightly clutching his dark, magical fingers, Louis strong-armed his golden horn. Satchmo, I hear you. Mr. Gillespie, wake up the rhythm of my blues and make me wonderfully dizzy while I listen to Billy wailing about some strange fruit. My pen began to gingerly weep for Lady Holiday as Sassy Sarah bebopped to me and Ella sings and hit high notes, minor and major, while my pen made love to my notebook at 78 RPM. Trying to compose and maintain my composure, tell me, can you feel my vibe? Hanging on a string like loose ends, around midnight, baptized by some Thessalonian monks, through closed eyes I see Barry conducting Love Unlimited. The string sections slowly killing me softly with sweet violins, in sync with strumming guitars and other woodwind instruments. Mixed with the clarity of clarinets and chilly cellos and fluid flutes, I slip into the snares of heavy drum beats. Tingling cymbals and jingling bells teases my eardrums. Quietly humming, I bob my head and tap dance my feet. Can you feel my vibe? Swinging on chords of rich rhythm and drowning in deep, smooth harmonies of Rachel Farrell and Will Downing. Nothing can compare. I can't describe this vibe that I'm feeling. A Royal Duke introduced yesterday's impromptu classical sessions to today's modern contemporary improvising of David Sanborn, Najee, Walter Beasley, Kim Waters, and Boney James and Alice Bouillon. Wicked riff infusions easily influencing my lyrical ink. Riding on a coal train, I hear the tracks crackles. Can you feel the vibe of this musical stride? If so, lay back, chill, and relax, and enjoy the jazzier size of this orchestra that I call poetry.
All right. That was great, 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 great. Is that the piece that you recited on the Straight No Chaser show?
I did, yes, it is. The one that I wrote when I was listening to it. And I just went back and tweaked it and filled in some, you know, made it a little tighter. Because I do want to have a saxophone track, instrumental track played behind it, and so I can record it and let you for that show.
Well, you know, it's so funny. I was just going to suggest that you do that because it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of work. And I was going to request that you be able to hopefully find some music to play behind it because it's perfect. Wow, I love your talent, and I'm so glad that you're with us as often as you are, my friend.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
We have one more person that I'd like to bring on the line. Hopefully, hold on 1 second here. We're having a good night tonight. Area code 804, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Kimberly. How are you guys?
Hello, Kimberly. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Welcome back. Welcome to the Power Poetics. As you know, poets on fire. So you plan to share tonight, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. Would you like to share now, or do you need a couple of minutes to get situated?
I need a couple of minutes, please.
Okay, all right then. What we'll do is take a short little break, and we'll come right back. And what I'd like to do again to honor our new show, Straight No Chaser, the jazzier side of poetry, is to play a piece of jazz. It's a little bit longer piece, so if you need to go out and find a sandwich or find a beer, do so, or just sit, maybe take a nap, I don't care. But it's just a little bit longer piece for us. You can tell I'm in a good mood tonight. It's just a little bit longer piece, and I'm just going to play it. It's Jazz Piano by Ben Sound. side, that was Ben Sound, jazz piano. Again, that piece being a little bit longer than ordinary allowed me to wash my dishes and take out the trash. So we're back now. This is Power Poetics. I'm in a great mood. Our telephone number is 646-716-8754. We have some fantastic callers on the line tonight, fantastic poets, and it's a great evening. So, again, Kimberly, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, fantastic. All right, you're on.
Okay. This is called Timeless Love. Awaiting a love, awaiting his love, his dark skin, I'm sorry, let me start again. Awaiting a love, his dark skin glistened bright under the starry sky, milky white, a milky white moon. There he stood, a tall statue, dressed in a hint of navy blue and a crisp white hat. Eagerly he awaited his love. He remembered her radiant smile and how she smelled of crisp white hair linen spray. He looked at his watch and counted down the seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2. He felt her hands around his eyes. She giggled. Are you surprised? His body was no longer tense, and he didn't no longer had to reminisce of how pretty she was, for he was finally home. The end.
Wow, that was really nice. I mean, I like the, did you say the milky white moon?
Yes.
Oh, that was a beautiful line. Really, really, really. And that kind of following that jazz piece, it was just perfect. Any thoughts from the other callers about that particular piece of poetry by Kimberly? Well, what I'd like to know is what inspired that piece, Kimberly. It was beautiful. What inspired that?
This is reminiscent of people who are dating who are like in the military or Navy, and just having to remember that person. And when you come home, you know, you know what they look like, but then now you don't have to wonder what they look like, how they changed or anything, because you actually can see them at that point.
Right, that's right. You have a military background. I remember that now. Wow, beautiful.
I do not.
Yes, the milky white moon.
Yes.
Milky white moon. I'm going to look at the moon tonight and see if it, for me, if it's milky white. It could be a shade of gray.
Yeah, okay. Could be opaque yellow. I don't know what you're going to say.
It's true. It's true. It could be a number of different. To every one of us, it could be different. Wow.
Exactly.
I've got a quick poem here. This is a piece that was written, I'm not sure when, but the author, his name is Hafiz, and his given name was Sean. I don't want to pronounce his given name. I don't want to do it incorrectly. But he's the most beloved poet of Persia, and he lived from 1320 to 1389, and his work was translated by Daniel Ledinsky. So the title of the book is The Gift, Poems by Hafiz, the Great Sufi Master. And it's called Two Giant Fat People. God and I have become like two giant fat people living in a tiny boat. We keep bumping into each other and laughing. The end.
You're
is anybody out there?
I am totally black. Please don't go.
Would you like me to read it again? Hello.
I say I. My friend Tamara was quite intrigued by your poem. That she's tired, but she was intrigued. She's been to the various Sufi events and Sufi worship. Oh, she's bringing out something to read.
All right, great. And her name is?
Her name is Tamara, and I'm going to hand her the phone. Oh, she'll tell you what she's reading. Oh, The Art of Piece from The Art of Drowning by Billy Collins.
All right, fantastic. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Here you go. Okay, I just have to get a little bit better situated here. Looking for my glasses, actually.
All right, welcome.
Thank you. I enjoyed the poems a lot.
Okay. This is about clouds. And it's what I was recently in Nevada, I saw beautiful clouds. And this poem seems to captivate the clouds. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I can't find exactly the poem that I wanted to read. So,
well, would you like us to go to someone else until you do?
Yeah. Perhaps
all right, all right.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, hi, do you mind if I read another poem?
No, please, Marianne.
Okay.
Then we'll go to you,
yeah,
Gary.
I want to read a poem that's going to it's going to be appearing in, I'm going to have to log back onto tomorrow's computer. Hold on a sec.
All right.
Okay. It's another night poem.
Right.
It's called "The Jazz Harpist Lies Sleepless." At night, in another strange bed, tiger striped with street lights and shadows of Venetian blinds, the jazz harpist wills herself to sleep. Her husband sprawled beside her is dead to the world. She is alive to it. The itch of wool blankets, the whisper of a pink nylon nightgown over her thighs, her place on the edge of a full-size bed. The traffic like Pacific surf outside her window, the music she cannot write down at night. She imagines rising to tidy up the room. Her husband will wake to a clear path. If only in this place, she will not touch the harp that always travels with them, like an awkward, half-grown child looming over his parents, the only child they will ever have. She shuts her eyes to this bedroom and to her harp that emerges in darkness. She hushes her thoughts from the hours most women her age do not keep. The music and the darkness recede, and she falls into a dream of willing herself to stay awake as her husband drives her and their human child. In her dream, she strokes her little girl's hair and plays the look of love as they travel home long before midnight.
The look of love. I remember
yep.
that song. My parents played it to me as a child. I'm going to keep with
it's
that.
It's all on YouTube.
All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. Tamara, are you ready?
Here she is. Okay.
Okay, great.
I decided that it was really long to find that the biography
right.
of Clouds by Billy Collins, so I'm here at Horizon. You can use the brush of a Japanese monk or a pencil stub from a racetrack. As long as you draw the line a third the way up from the bottom of the page, the effect is the same. The world suddenly divided into its elemental realms. A moment ago, there was only a piece of paper. Now, there's earth and sky and sea. You are sitting alone in a small room. Now you're walking into the heat of a vast desert or standing on the ledge of a winter beach watching the light on the water, light in the air. It's nice because we went to a Japanese exhibit by Hokusarai.
Hosaku?
Hosaku. And they were many beautiful paintings, which reminded me of.
Very nice piece. Very nice piece. Lily Collins is a powerful poet, former poet laureate of the United States. Hey, got one more person to bring in. Thank you. One more person to bring in here. And we'll continue this journey. Area code 207, you're on the air.
Hello, Michael. This is Valerie from Maine.
Hello, Valerie from Maine. Welcome
Hello.
To the Power Poetics Poets on Fire. So it's good to have you here. All right. Gary, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. And then Kimberly, you're next, okay?
I don't have anything else tonight, I don't think.
Okay.
Well,
if you want to write something spare in the moment, you know you can, but we're glad you're here. Glad you're here with that milky white moon. All right, that made my night. All right. Gary, you're on.
All right, this piece is called I Smile. I smile, I smile, I smile. I smile because I'm happy. Kurt, really? After watching the evening news that history repeats itself, beside 32 pearly white teeth, I wonder if others wonder what's really hidden behind these two pressed lips. What exactly they don't see. Crest may remove stains, but not even Colgate can hide prolonged fear and enduring pain. Brought on by years of frustration, trials and tribulation, that somehow overshadows brief civil jubilation. If justice were Lady Liberty's father, he constantly rapes and commits incest with her offsprings, producing illegitimate bastards and all of them named injustice. Very hesitantly and half-heartedly, I smile, I smile, I smile through clenched teeth, and I pray through clenched fists as I pound the air angrily like Cuba Gooding Jr. at the menaces in society that's ominously bearing down like a double-barreled shotgun on our young boys in the hood. And with a hint of sarcasm, I smile and I shake my head at the lopsided grand indictment handed down on a grand scale that often tips justice scales, favoring injustice. Crumbling my face, I frown, I frown, I frown, hiding behind a mask of confusion, a cover for the disillusional wishful thinking that justice would be served. And it was cold and very hard to swallow. With a fake smile, I smirk as I attempt to move the indignation that I feel to a righteous place. But please, don't confuse the bright beam trying to constrain the riot in my eyes. Flames of fury burning like Jeremiah's fire. The smothering apples of these eyes are hot as the filling in an apple pie. For the parents of Trayvon, Jordan, Michael Brown, Sean Bell, Tony Robertson, and Tamir. I cry, I cry, and I cry. Tears of sorrow to hide the hurt and the disappointment and the shames of America's injustices. I weep, I sigh, and I dry my eyes after bearing a spirit of heaviness and eulogizing our slain leader legacy because currently it appears that there are no heirs to their cause, no new leaders willing to inherit today's challenges. And reluctantly, I smile again as I purge myself from injustice's iniquities, reflecting on the memories of James Chaney, Andrew Goodman, Michael Schwerner, and Emmett Till. Knowing one day the first shall be last and the last shall be first, I will then smile a new smile when I see justice's coffin riding in justice's hearse. That piece.
Wow.
Wow, very nice.
Thank you.
Gary, you know, you go from sublime to sublime. I mean, you're an incredible, incredible poet. Talk somewhat about that piece. Tell us just a little bit more about what you were thinking when you wrote that.
Well, I wrote that after all the, you know, the injustice of the unarmed teenagers that were being, you know, murdered, and it was just hurting my heart. I wrote this piece in November 2014, and I added, you know, it seemed like it was another tragic event occurring week after week, and I added those other names to it. But yeah, I just, and after the injustice is occurring, the tragic events, and then there's no justice being served for it, it seemed like, and it just made me sad that piece was full of some kind of sarcasm. I'm saying I'm smiling, but I'm really crying. I'm hurting at all of, you know, of the justice, the days and past. So it just come out of a place of hurt and a place of really trying to heal.
Well, see, to me, again, that's why poetry is so important and so powerful, because it does give you an outlet to share, to allow that hurt, that pain, that situation where you feel so welled up inside that you need to release it. So that's why I just believe in the power of poetry so much, and I want to thank you for sharing that beautiful piece. I really
do.
Thank you. Yeah, so we're going to take just maybe just a 30-second break. We have another call on the line, and we'll be right back with the Power Poetics Blog Talk Radio Show, Poets on Fire Live. So stay tuned.
Michael's online radio show.
Shh, Marianne, shh. Are back with the Power Poetics. Mary Ann, you should not talk during our musical breaks. No one knows.
I haven't learned it the hard way, Mary Ann.
That they really are not musical breaks. They're just music that I play. People need to be quiet. All right. I'm going to bring another caller on. Hold on one second. All right. Area code 410, you're on the air. Area code 410.
Hello.
Hello. Is this who I think it is?
Yes, it is who you think it is. Who do you think it is?
I think it's Sherry Amore.
It is Sherry Amore. Hello, everyone.
Welcome. Welcome tonight. All right. Do you plan to share a piece of poetry tonight? You need a couple of seconds to get situated?
Oh, yeah, I need a couple of seconds. Thanks. Okay. I'm just blown away by, I came in a little late, and I just caught the tail end of the last piece, and it was phenomenal.
Gary, he is phenomenal. He's phenomenal. I mean, he's a person that needs to be recognized throughout the course of the nation in terms of his work, an incredible, incredible poet. Incredible poet.
Yes.
All right. Who'd like to go next? Kimberly, did you find something?
I have not.
Okay. All right. Who, Marianne, would you like to go next? I've got something that I could share again from Hafiz.
Let's see. Why don't you go ahead? Because I think the computer's logged out again.
All right, then. Not a problem.
Okay. And I apologize for talking during the break.
No problem. Age will do.
Your chest is mellow than mine.
All right, let's see. Hafiz. I really like Hafiz. All right. This is called The Quintessence of Loneliness. I am like a heroin addict in my longing for a sublime state, for that ground of conscious nothing where the rose ever blooms. Oh, the friend has done me a great favor and has so thoroughly ruined my life. What else would you expect seeing God would do? Out of the ashes of this broken frame, there is a noble rising sun pining for death, because since we first met, beloved, I have become a foreigner to every world except that one in which there is only you or me. Now that the heart has held that which can never be touched, my substance is a blessed desolation. And from that I cry for more loneliness. I am lonely. I am so lonely, dear beloved, for the quintessence of loneliness. For what is more alone than God? Hafiz. What is more pure and alone, magnificently sovereign than God? The end. Now, that was written somewhere between 1352 and the time that he made his transition in 1389. I mean, do those words still hold true today? What is more lonely than God? I'm just asking.
I am stuck on that line, Michael.
What is lonely? Valerie, that's right, you're on the line. You need to read. You need to read, Valerie. Valerie.
All right.
All right, great.
There's
so many people. This is the most people we've ever had on the line. I mean, I'm ecstatic.
Congratulations.
Most people. Oh, please, Valerie, please.
I will read a poem, but think about that.
All right.
What a great line. What is more lonely than God?
That is something to think about. Maybe that should be a prompt.
That's a prompt.
It is a prompt.
What would be more lonely than that? Wow. All right. I wrote a poem, and I think Marianne knows about this. It's a poem about Bessie Smith, who is, does anyone not know who Bessie Smith is? Okay, I will take from the silence that everyone knows who Bessie Smith is. And I wrote this poem about a movie I saw about her. And it doesn't have a title. It's just about Bessie Smith, okay? Chasing away the KKK, drinking liquor, and howling hooray. Successes despite excesses. The status train, the applause, the love didn't stop the pain. Promises broken, liquor, secrets, words of anger and sadness spoken. She loved him and her too. She couldn't stop this little girl blue. The end.
You changed it from the last time. It's different.
The last time?
Kimberly, do you remember that particular piece, the last time?
It wasn't the same. It was a different one, and you still liked her, though, even though she had all these different qualities about her. But, yeah, this one was different.
Yep, it was. It's another one. The other one I've written, Michael, is a haiku.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. So this is a new one. I'd written a haiku on just the promo I'd seen, but this one is about the whole movie that I saw.
That's right, because you had an opportunity to watch the movie, because you hadn't had an opportunity at that point to watch it. I remember now.
Yes.
I remember now. Oh, beautiful, beautiful
yes.
piece.
Thanks.
All right. Sharia Moore, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Please grace us with a piece.
Okay. I have not heard this piece out loud except in my brain, and
right.
I'm still working on it. It's called Letting Go. When we met, because you belonged to someone else, I believed I would know my limitations and not grow to love you. But despite what I knew, the timbre of your voice soothed me, and your arms wrapped around me made me feel safe. And my legs entangled in yours felt so right. but we both know that we really cannot begin unless you end what you are in. And we both know that you cannot truly love me unless you do your own letting go. Then maybe you can begin with me. And I have learned that I cannot make you love me, and that a level playing field is best in matters of the heart. And so I begin to let you go. The end.
Oh, wow. Comments? Thoughts?
It sounds great out loud. It does.
Thank you.
No need to worry about that.
Okay, thank you.
That was, wow, that was very touching. What made you choose that particular piece to share aloud?
I've been thinking a lot about letting go, and just in terms of a lot of things, and because, again, most of my poetry focuses on love, just been talking to a lot of couples lately that are going through breakups, and I guess this kind of made me think about how it is to let someone go. That's what came.
Right. Very nice. Thank you. Thank you very much. Who'd like to go next? Gary, are you on again?
Yeah, I'll read another one if you like.
Oh, yeah, please.
Okay, on this piece, if I want you all to close your eyes and picture this poem as I read it. If you can, then that's understandable. But if you can, I want you all to close your eyes and just picture this as I read this. And it's called A Sweet Dream. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Relaxing on a feathery bed of posies and yellow roses, tired and drowsy, gazing into the great Milky White Way, the warm butterscotch sunset slowly fades to night from day. Raspberry fireflies, flames flickers as blueberry coconut incense penetrate the atmosphere. Watermelon's spaceship zooms through the stratosphere. And syrupy candy red rockets on mission to Mars travel past marshmallow clouds and peppermint stars. Venus look for Mr. Goodbar under Saturn's cherry moon. And Uranus slow dance with Mercury to mellow Neptune's. Caramel cover meteorites collide with effulgent fudge comets, and Jupiter jutting jawbreakers jam the enemy jet with the juicy alloy, and sparkles of silver stars burst open with almonds filled with joy, showering down on lemon heads and sour tart hearts. Roaring chocolate thunder sweetly sings earth a lullaby, and bright ruddy red orange lightning from Pluto radiates the sky. Grape-sized hails rain down mixed fruits of love on vanilla hate, while cobblers of peach pecan peace glaze the desert landscape. Filling dry riverbeds and deep dish crushed valleys like hot apple pies, the honeydew sparkles like yellow diamonds as the morning sunrise, making Cupid's rainbows garden shine, melting Hershey's kisses into the mint green grass. Magically, time appears to stand still. That's when I sit up on the now withered bed of flowers with chills. And like a little child, I wake up, wipe my eyes, and I quietly smile. That's a piece. Y'all what?
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Wow, that was very creative. I'm hungry now.
Right. I know. You know, Gary, I really wish you lived in Washington, D.C. I wish everyone lived in Washington, D.C. I think we could take the city by storm in terms of the talent that's on this line tonight. People just don't recognize the power of what we bring to the table. That was beautiful, my friend. That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you all. Thank you.
All right. All right, who'd like to go next? Excuse me. Anyone? Going once? Going twice?
Hi, Michael, this is, God, the computer. Okay, I'm just going to put in the password, and I can read something.
Okay, then. Well, what we'll do, as I stated, we have another show. The show is titled Straight No Chaser, The Jazzier Side of Poetry. It's once a month on a Monday evening at 8 o'clock p.m. The next one, I believe, is July 6th or 7th. So what I'd like to do is to play the theme to the song. When we come back, we'll be on with Mary Ann. All right. Project show, Straight No Chaser, The Jazzier Side of Poetry. Again, there is time to call in. The number is 646-716-8754. We're here with a number of incredible artists tonight, so please call in. Please tweet us. We're on a roll tonight, and the next person on the microphone is Mary Ann.
Great. Yeah. Oh, God, that was a beautiful theme that you were playing during the interval. The poem that I'm going to read next is another jazz harpist. This is actually the first one that I wrote. It's called The Jazz Harpist on a Sunday Afternoon. Fingers fly like sunlight, skimming the brightness on the surface of the lake, one slightly breezy afternoon. But here, there are no words. The sun is stepping down from its height. It is still as lively as the fingers of the harpist, plucking and stroking the strings, while the flute warbles its birdsong, while her husband's drum spreads its branches, upon which the flute and harp rest. The anonymous tambourine shimmers like the ice cubes in the sunlit lemony drink, sweating on a table. The lemony drink matches the jazz harpist's shift, skimming an inch or two above the knee. The hand matches her crisp hair that resists the breeze. In the evening, there may be words, shadows, a singing saxophonist at the club downtown. But for now, for the harpist and her husband, bathing in brightness, there are not. Okay.
All right. Thoughts, anyone? Well, for me, I've always felt that the harp is such a beautiful, beautiful instrument. Does anyone play the harp? Does anyone know anyone who plays the harp?
I only wanted to say one thing, Michael.
Yes.
I really like your use of color, Mary Ann.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Her crisp hair, very descriptive. Crisp hair, yellow. Her hand matched her hair. It's like, wow, cool. Very nice, very nice.
The poetry is really popping tonight.
But my husband likes this poem.
All right, it's beautiful. Beautiful. But still, does anybody know a harpist? Anybody know a harpist? Anybody?
Yeah.
I need to find a harpist.
need to listen to
the
song.
Is there a harpist in the house? Come on.
Is there a harpist in the house? Valerie, would you like to go next?
Well, I have a very short little piece. It's
all
really
right.
Short, and this is actually a weekly poetry prompt from the DC Poetry Project. So you might recognize this. The prompt was Time Stopped. And this is what this is the little piece I wrote from that. And this is from an actual conversation that a friend and I had. I would stop time so we could talk longer. True things and things you wish were true. The end. So far.
Now, Valerie, you know I always ask you to recite your pieces twice. It takes me twice to process. Please,
okay.
Recite it again.
Yes. I would stop time so we could talk longer. True things and things you wish were true. The end.
Time
the end so far. I only wrote it's not finished.
Okay.
But I thought it was very apropos that it was at one of DC Poetry Project's poetry prompts.
Oh wow.
Okay.
The DC Poetry Project.
Great.
What is that? Has anyone ever heard of the DC Poetry Project? Is that some operation?
I don't know.
Is this something on the side of the street? All right. Who'd like to go? Sherry. Kimberly, do you have anything?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I will have more next time.
We're glad you're here. Anyone else who'd like to go? Sherry, like to share another piece?
Hey, I'm literally, like, working on this as I'm on this call, so.
All right.
I actually started to write it at our last half and half.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not sure what to call it yet because I keep changing the name, but here we go. The quietness in my bedroom invades my senses on this early morning. I lift my head and slide my body slowly upright until my back rests on my bed's headboard. I lay my head backwards for a moment. Then a small jolt of energy from the sun shining through the slight open space in my window shade invades my brain, causing me to lift my head up. It moves through my neck, veers to the right, slides down my arm and into my fingers. Then I pick up the pen on my nightstand and my writing pad, and I write a poem.
Would you read that again, please?
Oh, Michael. Okay. Quietness in my bedroom invades my senses on this early morning. I lift my head and slide my body slowly upright until my back rests on my bed's headboard. I lay my head backwards for a moment. Then a small jolt of energy from the sun shining through the slight open space in my window shade invades my brain, causing me to lift my head up. It moves to my neck, veers to the right, slides down my arm and into my fingers. Then I pick up the pen on my nightstand and my writing pad, and I write a poem.
I think that's what we do. We write poems. And I'm sure some people in the world feel like, what are you writing a poem for? What is it? What purpose does it serve? Does anyone have an answer to that? What purpose does it serve to write a poem? I mean, I could.
Well, I know why I write them.
Why?
I don't know if I can speak for other people. It's because I have something to say about something else.
Okay, all right. Anybody else? Why do you write?
Because you have to get it out. You have to express it.
You have to get it out and express
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Self-expression is the joy of creation.
Yeah.
The joy of creation.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. I mean,
okay, sorry.
Everyone has his or her own story, and you're able able to create whatever you need to create through the power of poetry. So what I'd like to do is to share a piece. It's called A Letter to Miss Emma, and I've recited it before, I believe, on this show and maybe in other places. As some of you may know, the new Colossus is the title of the poem graven on a tablet within the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty in New York City Harbor. And the most famous words are, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." These words are known to many people. This is an open letter to Miss Emma Lazarus, the author of the poem. Again, it's called A Letter to Miss Emma. "Dear Miss Emma, your humble words undoubtedly serve as a comforting balm for many sea-weary travelers, a branch to hang an indomitable spirit upon, a steadfast beacon to those who sail from European shores, a distant land where pink and white skin tones fleshed out the living canvas. Yet, Miss Emma, I must ask the question, what about me? Did you not see my boat pull in as you compassionately called out to others who traveled here from lands beyond the shoulder of liberty? I too have traveled the rough and uncertain seas. My body also ached and my spirit cried day and night. Confusion and fear about what lied ahead of me, with anger and bewilderment about what had been stripped from me. The middle passage has everlastingly been engraved in my heart. I chanted songs of sorrow for the still living and the dead, dead who unknowingly slept quietly beside me. So, Miss Emma, what about me? Soon to be viewed by all as only 3/5 of a man, stripped of my dignity, my 40 acres, and my 2 mules, I too huddled with masses yearning to breathe free, masses panting and like me slowly dying. Masses which were mirror images of the brown clay, golden morning sun, ruby sunset, and sable nights that framed the time you took to write your much lauded. I too am one of the tired, poor, huddled in a mass yearning to breathe free. So, Miss Emma, I saw you standing on this shore. How in the hell did you not see me? Sincerely, a fellow American." The end.
Wow.
Well, good people. Well, good people.
I'll stand by it. It's still good.
Yeah.
We've reached the end of another evening. I want to thank you so much. Actually, we've gone over time. This has been a really, really nice show. So unless there are any final comments from anyone, I'd like to thank all of you for joining us tonight on the Power of Poetics Blog Talk Radio Show, Poets on Fire, and we will see you again next week. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Bye. Thank you.
Good night.
Lake Poetry Ring. All right.